Okay, well, it's always a privilege to be sharing the Word of God, to be sharing what I think, what I believe, what I feel God has placed in my heart to share with you all. And it's a beautiful. I was talking to Pastor Ken and Enrico just before the service started, and this is a beautiful reminder, a tiny beautiful reminder that to do church. Sometimes we don't need a building. Sometimes we don't need a four walls because church happens when the believers, people come together. And so because of the weather today and because of the snow falling, we're not able to gather in the building, but we are gathered here through technology, through Zoom, through YouTube, through Facebook, and in one accord. And that's the main thing. And so I just want to say that before I start. And so my message this morning, my sermon this morning, is called "Let Us Fix Our Eyes on Christ." But more specifically, let us fix our eyes on God's mission. On God's mission. Let us fix our eyes, our trust, our hearts, our mind on what God is doing among us, on what God is doing in our city, on what God is doing among our families here in Peterborough. And so, what happens when we do not? What happens when we move our eyes, our trust, our minds, our hearts away from what God is doing among us? And that's my message. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 4, 13. There's a little story there. There's a context there. I'm not, because of the time, I'm not going to read the entire story. I'm just going to read a certain passage there. But before we read the Bible passage, I want to say a couple of things. Number one, I want to say that God is the same yesterday, I know we know this by heart. I know our parents and grandparents, Sunday school, and the pastor, they've always told us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But do we really believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do we really believe in our hearts, with our trust, not just in our mind, not just on our lips, but do we really believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I do not. Oh, Pastor, really? Yeah, sometimes I don't feel that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll be honest. Try starting a new church. Try starting planting a new church in Peterborough where no one else is doing it before or has done it before. Sometimes, you prepare your heart, you prepare the sermons. Sometimes you give it all and you don't see the results right away. You don't see the fruits right away. And you wonder, you ask yourself, God, is it really your mission? Is it really something that comes from you? Sometimes, I'll be honest, I'll say it again. Sometimes I don't feel that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes I don't feel. But we must remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same help, the same God that helped us yesterday is the same God who is going to help us today, who's going to help us tomorrow, next month, next year, 60 years from now. And that reminds me, next month we're going to be celebrating 60, I believe 60 years, 60, 60 years of Edmondson Heights Baptist Church. Praise God for that. And I want us to be reminded that the same God that helped us, provided for us 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, last year, is the same God who is continuing to help us to go through our challenges. And it's going to be the same God who's going to help us to face the challenges from tomorrow. I'll be honest, sometimes we don't feel it, but we must remember. Number two, before we read the Bible passage, Number two is this: the God is building his church. God built his church. Matthew 16, 18 says, I will build my church. I will build my church. God himself says, I build my church. And my friends, you know, if that's true, the last thing I want is to get in between God and the church and God and the mission that he's doing among ourselves, in our churches, in our community, because it is God who builds the church. Now, that doesn't mean that we're off the hook. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to trust that it's God who still saves. It is God who still provides. That is God who still provides resources so that his kingdom, so that his mission is accomplished in our midst. At about this time, if we were live face to face in the building, I would say, somebody say amen to this. But I don't know. I don't even know if I don't sometimes I don't even see people's faces, so I can't really ask you to say amen to that. But let's say amen to that, that God built his church. Amen.
Amen.
And
Amen.
God built his church. Number three. This is very important.
Oh, goodness, si lo
Number
tiene.
three. Let's pause for a moment. Just work with me. Let's pause for a moment and count the blessings that God has given us
Ahora sí.
in the personal life, in our families, in our community, and most importantly, can you hear me okay? I got a message there. Can you hear me okay still?
Yes,
Yes.
yes.
Okay, good. So let's pause for a moment and count the blessings for our church, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church. We find out that it has all been God. Everything is about God. Is the one who started it all. God is the one who continues to provide, and God is the one who will continue to provide, my friends. God seems to be doing something among ourselves. Do you believe that? I can see it. I can sense it. That God seems to be doing something among us. God is on a mission, my friends. You know, I've been thinking about this. I don't really know of another church community, of another church family, but Edmondson Heights, you know, counting the blessings within our family, within our building, we have five different ministries happening right now. Obviously, we have the English Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, we have the Hispanic ministry, we also have the Evergreen Daycare. We also have the Church on the Rock that gathers the meets in our building on a weekly basis. We also have the Rest Place Ministries that is also gathering in our building. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that? That's amazing. I can't think of any other churches whose God has been blessing for the last probably say last 2, 2, 3.5 years. And the amazing thing is that everything has been God. It has all been God. There's nothing that we've done for these ministries to come to us. I didn't see anyone putting an ad on the newspaper or on the radio. Somehow God directed them to come to us, to Emerson Heights Baptist Church. And here we are. God seems to be doing something among ourselves. God seems to be on a mission. And we need to understand that, my friends. We need to. But there is a problem. But there is a problem. Enrico, can you go on the next slide? There it goes. But there is a problem. And the problem is this. The problem is this. That sometimes we forget, and we often do. Sometimes we forget, and we often do, that He has been God. It has been God who has provided for us. He has been God who gave us the victory. He has been God who protected us. He has been God who guided us through it all. For the last, again, we're going to be celebrating 60 years next month. And sometimes we forget that, oh, if we count our blessings, if we look back, we can see, we can sense, we can taste that He has been God who provided for us. He has been God who has given us victory. He has been God who protected us. He has been God who guided us, my friends. And instead, we fix our eyes. We fix our trust on things, on people, certain families, in our programs, and the worship team, and on the deacons and the elders and the pastor and the new family and the new person coming. We move our eyes, we move our trust from what God has been done, has been doing. We move our eyes and we move our trust from what God has done for us. And we place it on things. We put it on people. We put our trust on the programs and the things that we do, forgetting that it has been God all along the way. It has been God, my friends. God gave us the victory in the past. God provided for us. God protected us. God has guided us. In your own lives, in your own families, in your own communities, in your own neighborhoods, it has been God who provided, has been God who gave us the victory. It has been God who protected us. It has been God who has guided us, my friends. Let's never forget that it has been God all along the way. And so let's read the passage now. It's on the screen there. It's found on 1 Samuel chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 3, and then we jump to verse 11, 10 and 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this: At that time, Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Israelites' army was camped near Ebenezer. And the Philistines were at Aphek. The Philistine attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. That's a lot of people, 4,000 men. After the battle was over, the troops retreated to their camp. And the elders of Israel asked to themselves, "Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines?" So that's the question, right? And so they had an idea. So they just had become defeated from the Philistines, right? And then they asked themselves, "Why did this happen, Lord? Why did you allow us to be defeated?" And they came up with a solution. They came up with an idea, and they said to themselves, "Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Silat. If we carry it into battle with us, it will save us from our enemies." I'll say that again. They came up with an idea, with a solution, with a formula, and they said to themselves, "Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Silo. If we carry it into battle with us, it will save us from our enemies." That's from verse 1 to verse 3. Now let's jump to verse 10 and 11. And so they did. So they brought the Ark of the Covenant with them to the battlefield. And the result was that the slaughter was great. 30,000 Israelite soldiers died that day. So they went from 4,000 people that died to 30,000. That's like what? That's like almost tenfold of people dead. 30,000 Israelite soldiers died that day. The survivors turned and fled to their tents, and the Ark of God was captured. That's amazing. That's amazing, but in a bad way. Now, let me give you the context of again, we don't have the time to read the whole story, but here's the context. God had told them time and time again, God had promised the people of Israel that he was going to give them the victory over their enemies. In fact, if you read the any part of the Old Testament, especially when Moses takes the people of Israelites out of Egypt, God told them time and time and time again to not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. I will give you the victory. I will give you the land on which your feet step on. I will give you the victory. God had told them time and time again that he was going to be him, the Lord, that was going to give them victory. So that's number one as a context, okay? Number two. Now, and this is where it gets interesting. So God tells them, I, the Lord, I, God, I, Jehovah, I, the Lord, I will give you, it's going to be me who gives you the victory. It's going to be me who is going to guide you. It's going to be me who's going to give you the resources. It's going to be me who's going to give you victory, victory after victory. And this is where it gets interesting. In several occasions, they have carried the Ark of the Lord with them into battle, and God granted them victory. They knew that there was something about the Ark, my friends. They knew, they have seen it, that there was something about the Ark, that every time they faced challenges, that every time they faced difficulties, every time they faced battles with enemies, they knew that by bringing the Ark of the Lord, which represented the presence of the Lord, God gave them the victory. And you can take a look. Numbers 10, 35, 31, 6, Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, Joshua chapter 3, verse 6, and many other ones. The people of Israel, they knew that there was something about the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that every time they carried it and brought it into their many of the circumstances and challenges and the battlefields, God gave them the victory. And so, therefore, number three, this time, when they're facing the Philistines, when they're fighting the Philistines, they had an idea. They came with a solution. They came with an easy, very easy formula. This time, they thought that by bringing it into the battle, it was going to save them from the enemy. Isn't that interesting? So, number one, God had told them, I will give you, I will provide, I will protect, I will guide you. I, the Lord God, Jehovah, I, the Lord, the God, Jehovah, I will give you all of that. Number two, they knew that there was something about a piece of furniture. They knew that there was something about this piece of wood that every time they brought it into battle, they knew that God would give them the victory. And so, obviously, by default, they said to themselves, oh, okay, let us bring the Ark of the Lord into the battlefield. And if we carry it, it will save us from our enemies. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? Enrico, if you can go to number three, please. Yeah. Number three, right? And so they came up with a solution. They have seen it that there was something happening with the Ark of the Covenant. There was something about this piece of furniture, this thing, that every time they brought it into battle, God gave them victory. And so when they're facing this new challenge, when they're facing this new difficulty in their lives, when they're facing this new battle in the fields, they did what they've always done. They brought it into the battlefield. And what was the result? Number four, the result, Enrico? The result was 30,000 soldiers were killed. Horrendous, terrible. 30,000 soldiers were killed. They were defeated. They ran, like they say in English or in Spanish, they went back home with their tails between their legs. 30,000 soldiers were killed, and even worse than that, even beyond that, the Ark of the Covenant, that piece of furniture on which they had put their trust, was taken away, was captured. Are you following what I'm saying? Can I get a thumb up or a thumb down? I don't see people's faces here, but I trust and I pray, my friends, that this is making sense. 30,000 soldiers were killed, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken away. And so, as I was reading and meditating on this passage, the obvious question is, what in the world happened? Like, God, you told us you were going to save us. You told us were going to grant us victory. You told us, God. So what happened? What went wrong? Number one, and this is what went wrong, my friends. They had forgotten that the victory was not in the ark itself. That's the problem. They forgot the victory was not in the ark, was not on the piece of furniture, my friend, was not on the thing. They had forgotten that the ark was simply a representation, a symbol of the presence of God. My friends, what made the ark holy was that God was there. Without the presence of God, that piece of furniture, that thing, was nothing. They forgot that the ark was simply a representation, a symbol of the presence of God. My friends, what made the ark holy was that God was there. Without God, the ark was just another piece of furniture. Go back to page, point one, please, Enrico. Number one. Without God, the ark was just a piece of furniture. And my friend, I want to pause there for a minute, and I'm going to go back to it again later. My friends, without God, our programs, our buildings, our lives are just another piece of furniture, It's another four walls. It's another set of songs that we're saying. If God is not in it, we're wasting our times. If we put our eyes, if we put our trust on the things we do and the programs we run, and God is not there, and we move our eyes from God to the things, to the its of our lives, we have missed it all. We missed the mission of God. We missed the point. Without God, the ark was just another piece of furniture. Number two, in other words, they were not really interested in what the ark represented, but only in what it would do for them. They missed the point. They missed the mission of God. They were not interested in crying out to God and to repent from their sins and to turn away from their evil ways. They were just interested in what the ark would do for them. They had detached the symbol from God himself and began to trust the symbol, the pattern, instead of God. That's what went wrong. They had detached the symbol from God himself and began to trust the symbol, the pattern, the building, the piece of furniture, the process, instead of trusting God, instead of going back to the basis that it was God all along the way, that it has been God who saved them, that it has been God who provided for them, that it has been God who guided them, my friends. And here I come to the reflection part of my sermon. Reflection part of the sermon. I often wonder if that is exactly what I, and myself included, my friends, what I do with our churches and the way we do church. The moment you start trusting some things and what that thing is going to do for us, and the moment you start trusting on some people, some ones, instead of what God has, trusting the things that God has blessed in the past, then God himself, God moves out. I often wonder if that's our attitude towards church. That's our attitude towards the mission of God, to what God is doing among ourselves. As I was saying at the beginning of my sermon, God has blessed everything that has been going on for at least 2.5 years, as far as I can tell. God has blessed what we have, my friends. God has blessed the resources that he has given us. But the moment you start trusting the things and the someones more than God himself, he moves out of the equation. Number two, when we trust this building, when we trust certain families within our congregations, oh, Pastor, and what are we going to do? The mortgage is coming up due. Pastor, what are we, elders and deacons, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do if that family leaves the congregation? And what are we going to do if that person doesn't want to come anymore? What are we going to do with the mortgage payments and all the bills that has to be paid? Pastor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? My friends, we're going to do the same thing we have always done, and that is Trust God. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep trusting God. We're going to keep believing God. We're going to keep doing what we know what to do. Keep doing what we know what to do. And what is that? Trusting God, praising God, lifting His name up. And that's what we have been doing for the last 60 years, my friends. And for the last 60 years, God has provided. God has protected us. God has guided us. That's what we're going to do. When the things look uncertain, when families are making their minds up and for whatever reason, and God bless them, when the things, the mountains around ourselves, when we look up our, when we lift up our eyes and we look at all these mountains around us and all our challenges around us, what are we going to do? Where does our help come from? My friend, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth. That's where our help comes from. It doesn't come from the building. It doesn't come from Enrico. It doesn't come from Ken. It doesn't come from the elders. It doesn't come from the elders and the deacons. No, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth. And again, if I was present at the building, I would say, somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that, my friends. Because all along the way, it has been always been God, always been God, always been God. When we trust this building, and yes, obviously we live in Canada, it's minus 50 outside. We need a building to gather. We also need a pastor to lead us and preach to us. We need a worship leader to lead us and to worship into the presence of God. We need people. We need money. We need resources. But when we put our eyes on the things and the someones more than God Himself, Ichabod happens. Now, if you read the story of 1 Samuel chapter 4, if you read that all of these calamities were happening, she cried out and said, Ichabod! Ichabod means the presence, the glory of God departs. My friends, when you and I trust the things that God has given us, and praise God for the things, I'm not saying diminish, don't give value to the things and resources. I'm not saying don't give values to the families and to the programs. We need programs. We need people. We need people. We need money. We need resources. We need a building. Obviously, we need all of that. But the problem is that when we put our trust, when we put our eyes on things and someone's, more than God Himself, God says, Ichabod. The presence, the glory of God departs, my friend. That's what happens. And I don't know if this is making any sense. I hope it is. I hope it does, my friends. But I believe, and I think I'm speaking for Pastor Ken and the elders and the deacons, I believe that God is doing something among Emmons and Heights Baptist Church. I can see it, and I hope you can too. I can sense it, and I hope you can too. I can taste it, and I hope you can too. You know, last night I was at the church. I was joining the Rest Place Ministries. Oh my goodness, so beautiful what they're doing. They were celebrating St. Valentine's evening with couples and and families. Beautiful thing, my friends. God is at work. God is on a mission. God is still saves. God is still provides. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is doing something for Edmonds and among the families and the people of Edmonds and Heights Baptist Church. And I hope you can sense that as well. But the moment we mixed up priorities, it's not about the building. It's not about the programs. It's not about what I do as a pastor, or what Pastor Ken does as a pastor, or Enrico, or the elders, or the deacons. It's about God. Where is your trust this morning? Where is your confidence? Where are your eyes fixed? My friend, I hope that your eyes are fixed on God's mission, because He is doing something among ourselves. Can I get an amen to that? That God is doing something among ourselves. Do you believe that? ¿Lo puedes creer que Dios está haciendo algo en nuestras vidas? For my Spanish friends. Dios está haciendo algo, mis amigos, mis hermanos. God is doing something. And the last thing I want us to do as a church and as a family is to put our eyes on families, on certain people, to put our trust in what's going to happen if they leave, and what's going to happen with the payments, and what's going to happen with this, that, and the other. We're going to keep praising. We're going to keep pushing forward. We're going to continue believing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, my friends. Amen. Amén.
Amén.
Gloria a Dios. Alguien diga gloria a Dios. Praise God. Praise God. At this moment, I would ask you to stand up if we were at the building, but obviously we're not. But at this time, I like us to close our eyes for a moment. And I'm going to ask Enrico to play that song, Enrico, reflection song. If you have it, great. If you don't, just let me know. Let's pray. Please join me in prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you that your ways are higher than our ways. Your plans are better than our plans. And sometimes we don't understand them. Sometimes we cannot comprehend them. Sometimes we don't even like them. But we trust in you, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. Father God, he who started the good work in us or among us will be faithful to bring it to completion in our lives. Father, we believe it. Father, we sense you are at work. We can sense, we can see it, that you are doing something among ourselves, God, in our communities, in our families, in our city of Peterborough, Lord. Father, help us to never, never, never move our trust, move our eyes from the mission that you have given us. Father, I pray for the elders and the deacons. Father, give them hope. Give them a strength. Father, strengthen up their hearts, Lord. Father God, I pray for Pastor Ken. Father, I pray for the programs, the music, the various departments in our church. I pray for the other ministries, Lord, that are happening within our church. Father, I pray that we will never, never, never forget that our help comes from you and you alone. Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, amen. Gloria a Dios. Praise God. I pass it on to Pastor Ken. Now.
Thanks, Giovanni. Oh, wow. What a message this morning. A reminder that our help comes from the Lord. It's not in the things that we do, the things that we have. It's not in the programs that we seek to put together, but it's God who is the one who takes the things that we offer to him as living ourselves, as living sacrifices, and he is the one who multiplies the works of our hands. He is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so it's just been a blessed time together today. Thank you so much, Giovanni, for that message.